Right, Knack wasn't officially on the program, but he felt he would like to discuss with you a very pertinent topic. Without further ado, Rabbi Knack, who is the CEO and Rabbinic Administrator of OU Kosher.
First of all, let me welcome you all to the OU. Why are you at the OU? This is all one smicha class?
I don't know, it's mostly college guys.
College? Some smichas, okay. I wanted to talk just briefly about a shaila that's come up recently. It's really not a shaila. Rabbi Belsky and I, Rabbi Shecht, have been dealing with it over the last several months, but you may hear about it, so I thought maybe it's useful just to tell you about an issue that's relevant. I'll try to be relatively brief. And the issue that's discussed is the oils that come in, especially the palm oil, the tropical oils that come primarily from Malaysia, coconut oil and so on. Is there a problem in terms of the ships that bring them? Because these ships can also carry tallow or other non-kosher ingredients. So are we concerned, first of all, in terms of the hold itself that's holding the vegetable oil? Maybe there was tallow before, or some animal fat. And the second issue that's arisen is, what if there are adjacent holes right next to it? Does the adjacent hole make that the bleed maybe goes through the stainless steel and asa the oil in an adjacent hole? Now, Rabbi Goldberg here is the expert on some of this stuff, and that's why he asked him to join us briefly. But I wanted to, since this is a college group, Torah Mad, I wanted just to share some of the, there's an interesting Oroch HaShulchan related to this question. Because you may hear about this. This actually is not a new issue. It was brought to Ramosha about 30 years ago. Rabelsky was one of the people who spoke to Ramosha about it at the time. Ramosha was Noita Lakula. But the more we know about this, the informed opinion, as opposed to a misinformed opinion, we know that it's really completely mutter without a shayla. First of all, the OU itself supervises. We don't supervise the oils on these enormous transports. But we know that the amount of bleed, let's say, even if there would be tallow, imtim saloima, there was tallow in the hold, afterwards what happens is it's cleaned out. It's an eni ben yomo. Eni ben yomo, everybody here knows what eni ben yomo means? I mean, you know the first something that's a yes?
There are a lot of
college guys
here that probably don't know.
Okay, so anybody, I mean, in order for for something to be kosher, it's not only that the food has to be kosher, the kalim, the utensils have to be kosher, and if not, if it was used within 24 hours hot with non-kosher, we assume that flavor still is preserved as a positive flavor, tasty flavor, and it would asa the food. Beyond the 24 hours, we assume that the flavor that's absorbed in the walls of the utensil would disintegrate and no longer be tasty. That's called lefgam. So, first of all, we check prior loads, at least three prior loads, to make sure that there were always kosher loads. And when they download from one to the next, usually, for economic reasons, they don't download it right away and refill it, because that they have to clean it in between, and it's expensive to eliminate the water because of the at port they have to pay for that. Usually when they download it usually is how long? Where we go? We say between 24 hours to a week?
Well, depending where it is, we'll see. I'm talking about the Malaysian areas. So it's usually at least 24 hours for 7 days.
Right, so that's about an eni ben yomo. And also, we know that there's, if you calculate the amount of the volume of the thickness of the walls as compared to the volume of the product being carried, there's always more than shishim. Shishim means 60 times, so it's 60 times its bottle. And also, they actually clean it out between very carefully with soap and water. Yeah.
They just like clear the mitzvahs.
the oil is hot in the,
The oil is not hot the whole time, but when it's downloaded, they make it viscous, so they heat it. If it wasn't hot, you'd like to be no problem. But it's not hot the whole way. Different oils, depending on their nature, are heated at different temperatures. But we've met, and we continue to monitor, we've met with major shipping companies. Stolz is the largest, or other ones, Tokyo Marine, and we've sent people to meet with them, you know, to see the manifolds and so on. So it's not just we're guessing, we know. And as a matter of fact, when we met with Stolz here in this office, they told us that it's been years since they, on this route from Malaysia, from the Far East, that there's ever simultaneous and non-kosher on the boat. But I want to just share with you an interesting tshuva of Ramo about this. The tshuva of Ramo, it's Siman Nun Dal. The Ramo has a very interesting tshuva. Apparently, in the Ramo's time, they used to take barrels of oil, and in order for them not to leak, they used to smear them with chashishmaltz. And Ramo says it's mutter, and he says it's mutter for two reasons. First of all, he says that the chashishmaltz, or the lard or whatever it's coated with, is a nice and tam lefgam. We spoke about that already in the oil. It ruins the oil in terms of the taste, or it diminishes the taste. So that's that is machlokes, whether basar is a nice and tam lefgam in shemen. Mechaber says it is, and the Ramos says it is. The Shach is mesupik about it. It seems to say no. So, but that's one issue. So even if there would be this tallow on the boat, there would be a nice and tam of gum, and therefore it would be bottle. If it's bottle, it's bottle barov. You don't need shishim because the tam is a bare tam. But the Ramon then goes on to have another theory, a very interesting theory. He says, you know, we see that people are always eating this. He's talking about the goyim in his time. And then I assume the Ramon was talking about on Fridays. I remember actually when the Pope, during the Ecumenical Council, they changed the rule that you're allowed to eat meat on a Friday. It used to be Catholics weren't allowed to eat meat on a Friday. So that was one of the changes in the Ecumenical Council that came in 1963, 64, something like that. Most of you probably weren't even born. So the Ramos says, how are they eating this, using this oil? So it must be that there's no tam. Now, that the Ramos case is 10 times worse, you can imagine, any circumstance that we're talking about. But the Aruch HaShulchan tells us an interesting story, and that's what I wanted to share with you today. And it's a shayla halacha in terms of how much do we integrate scientific studies and results in terms of determining kashrus. So the Aruch HaShulchan, everybody knows who the Aruch HaShulchan was here. The Aruch HaShulchan was one of the great poskim at the end of the last century. His son was the Torah Tamima. His name was Pinchas Epstein. He writes, about 25 years ago, she also called Rash al Hashem and Zayis a move in Chutzlum Dina, saying that there was a tumult about the kashrus of the vegetable or the olive oil coming. She yeshbo tarovus shum and chazir, right? That it, somehow it's being adulterated with chazishmaltz. It says, and people stopped eating the oil, even though the same identical story happened in the time of the Ramor. When they used to shmir, that there was so much, I guess they used to shmir the barrel so it wouldn't leak. And he says it was a thick coating of this pig fat on it. And the Ramo said, he says anybody who's machmir about this is wrong. The Hamorachai Kosov, the Shuman Chazir, Noisin Tan Lefgam, Beshecha, Kol Shekin Beshemen, and so on. V'od herek b'rayis u'bitil divrei ha'ma'arim mikol v'kol. And the Ramah brings many rayis to nullify the position of the those who question who wanted to be machmir. So anyhow, we couldn't. So people were worried nowadays about this. You know, he's talking about in his time the Orach HaShulchan. So this is you know, more than a century ago. Lo achalnu ad ben meshach ha'esh yotza hakol gam ben ha'umos v'az gdoli chachmei ha'refua v'harokim till the great scientists, doctors, and the chemists agdolim bachnu kol mine shemen zayis mvom mechutz l'medina. They began to check all the imported olive oil al pi pirud ha'yisodos kifi chachmas ha'kemiya. That's the lashon of the Orach HaShulchan. He says they began to change by, you know, through chemistry. The hodiu ki lo nimtzu bo shum. I guess pirud ha'yisodos is probably some kind of chromatography or something. She ain't dover me eiz in bali chayim v'rak yesh be eiz hashmon and tarovus mizaron. They saw that there's no animal fat, only vegetable oil. V'avz nifzik ha'kol v'schalnu la'ochlo v'chol ha'machmi b'zeh eino element menat matmiyim. So the reason I mentioned to you is because it's a story that's emerging, and it's interesting how the Orach HaShulchan, as part of the, you know, the proof, brings, you know, the chemical tests that they apparently did. The Dalkei Tshuva quotes this as well, and he says there are discussions whether chemical tests are sufficient or not sufficient, but most poskim seem to think, like the Orach, at least the Orach HaShulchan, is a very significant proof about this. And so al pi halacha, this shaila is really. There are many other issues, you know. Is there really a blia through and through the wall? And how much of a blia could it be? There are many issues to deal with it. And in fact, we know, and Rabbi Goldberg is very much on top of this, from our monitoring it, we have mashkichim at the different ports where it's downloaded and so on. Actually, right here in Newark, you could, from my window, you could actually see Port New Jersey, which is one of the places where a lot of this is downloaded here on the East Coast. So this is an emerging story. It's been emerging now for about 30 years, but it's re-emerged again. There's a lot of misinformation, as usual, a lot of venom, a lot of, you know, people absolutely certain, but they usually, when that happens, almost always completely, completely wrong. So anyhow, I thought it's an interesting Orach HaShulchan. So
we have chemical tests on?
We do test, right, so all this oil, there are surveyors that test all the oil to make sure that it meets the specs of the companies. They test the cleanliness and this is done as well. And of course, people have all tasted it, and no one has ever tasted it, so can rely, whether you can rely on a kefela who's not Jewish, actually the Ramah is the one who says you can't, but here apparently he says, since it's so universally known, the Ramah himself in his tshuva seems to be relying on it, as he points out himself. Okay, so welcome. Are there any questions?